If you want to open up to the book of James, we're going to continue our study. If you remember, if you were here last week on Father's Day, we took a break and we went into Mark and we were talking about how to become a disciple. To be a real good father, we have to first be a good follower of Jesus. So to be a good leader in our home, and this is for everybody, but we were focusing on the fathers, we first have to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. And we were talking about the importance of being a disciple and how it's our job, especially the fathers, but the mothers too, but as parents, to be raising up future disciples of Christ. But we left off the week before last in the chapter 4 of James. So if you want to find that while we're doing that, I'll just give you a quick refresher, because I know sometimes I get long-winded, and so you probably take in a little bit of the beginning of the sermon, and by the end of it, you're just like, all right, I'm ready for some fried chicken and whatever. So we're going to, just to give you a quick reminder of what we were talking about 2 weeks ago. James was giving us the remedy for all the chaos in our life, all the drama that we get tied up in, all the sin in our life. And he said this. He said, number one, he said to get rid of it and to conquer it, he said, we have to draw near to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And he also told us, he said, we must take the temptation to sin. We must take responsibility for our sin and take the temptation to sin and the places that we fall short in, the areas in our life that we fall short. He said this. He said, weep. Go cry, and you should be weeping for the things that you have done. Take it serious how we rebel against God in those areas in our life. We all have them. And lastly, he said, to really conquer the chaos, we must humble ourselves before God, and he will lift us up. We can't fix ourselves, right? We can't fix ourselves. Only God can fix us. He created us, so he can fix us. Well, today, James goes from one sore subject right into the next one. You see, if we know that God hates sin, he can't be in the presence of sin, we must make sure that we know that we are just as guilty of sinning as the person who's sitting behind us or sitting in front of us or sitting next to us. Nobody's better or nobody's worse than the other here today. We must realize that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Paul told us in the book of Romans. Therefore, we must not judge each other. Now, I see some of y'all shutting down already this morning. Y'all are thinking like, all right, we threw water balloons at him, so he's going to preach at us today and like and throw it up, okay? That's not the point. This is just where we are. So maybe God's dealing with you. I don't know. But don't shut down on me this morning, because these verses are from thy word. And God wants to use his word to be a guide for our life, a light to our path. And when we put God's word to application in our life, and we say every day when we wake up, we're going to try to become doers of the word, like James says, it makes a difference. And that's when he can start fixing us. And that's when he can start curing us and getting us away from all the chaos in our life. So remind you this morning, it's not the angry pastor with a sore stomach that got water balloons thrown at him yesterday that's speaking to you this morning. It's God. Amen? And so I'm not really angry. We had a great time yesterday. So let's read James 4, verse 11 and 12. So we're only going through two verses, but there's a lot packed in here. So find verse 11 and 12 in chapter 4 of James. This is what it says. Warning against judging others. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Whew. We're going to have to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it never comes back void. Lord, there's never a time in our life that we can say, well, I don't need it. And Lord, it's already stood the test of time. And Lord, we just thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for what it's done in my life and what it's doing here at Fork Union Baptist Church, what you're doing through the teaching and the reading and we know when we put it to use in the church and we make it real in our life, God, that's when you really begin to speak to us and work in us and do things through us. So Lord, I just pray today that we'll hear the words that you have recorded in your holy word and that we'll apply them to our life today, Father. Lord, I just pray that you will soften our hearts so we can hear what you have to say to us today, every one of us individually. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So what is God telling you this morning? What is God telling me this morning? Well, we're going to break it down. We're going to look at the first few words that James says in verse 11. Go back to verse 11 and look at what he says. Don't speak evil against each other. I like the NIV. It says, do not slander one another. Man, I'm telling you what, I have fallen short in that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. Just like Kat was saying in the children's message, nobody can say they've never spoke evil against somebody else. Nobody can ever say that they've never slandered somebody else. So even if you go back to the original language the Bible was written in, this letter was written in, it goes right back to this. It says, don't speak evil against each other. It hasn't changed. This includes, but not limited to, criticizing someone, judging others, gossiping about somebody or gossiping about others, condemning others. The list goes on and on and on. Either way you put it, Scripture is clear that we are not to speak evil against each other. We have to understand that when we're talking about somebody and we're cutting somebody down, it doesn't matter whether it's done because we don't like them. It doesn't matter whether it's done because they've wronged us and they deserve it. It doesn't matter, if we're cutting somebody down because their sin is so disgusting and so awful to us. We must remember that we ourselves are just as guilty if we begin to slander them and speak evil about them. Sin is sin, right? Amen? Are y'all with me this morning, church? You can go around thinking that you're better than somebody else. You can go around convincing others that you're better than someone else or others. But the truth is this, the person who judges is just as guilty of being a sinner as the person that they're judging about being a sinner. So often we forget that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. We are part of the family of God. We sang about it last week. I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. We close the service with that song. So we must realize when we speak evil, when we slander each other, when we gossip about each other, we're speaking evil against a son and a daughter of God. Oh, but sometimes we just want to. Sometimes we just can't resist it. I'm guilty of it. We want to talk about what others have done wrong, don't we? So why is this, you ask? Even if you didn't ask it, I'm insinuating that you're asking me this morning. So I'm glad you ask, and thank you for asking, but allow me to tell you why this morning for about 30 minutes. Why do we tear others down? Why do we do it? Let's really get back to the root of it. Why do we tear other people down? Because it makes us seem a little better, doesn't it? Why do we speak evil about other people? Because we're worldly and we simply enjoy hearing bad news. That's sick, isn't it? But it's the truth. Why do we watch the news? Because we want to see what's going on in the world. We want to see a little bit of the chaos that's going on. Did you hear what's going on here? Did you hear what this guy did? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about the guy that got arrested and we thought he was a good guy, but he was embezzling money? We like to hear about the evilness in this world. I don't know what it is. It's just our worldliness. If the news only shared good things that happened, their ratings would drop and they'd probably be out of business in a week. Think about it. Think about the things that the news shares because it's what we want to hear. And last but not least, when we tear down others, we feel like we're getting revenge sometimes. They deserve it, and so we're giving them what they deserve. Oh, did you hear? Oh, pray for them. Pray for this person, because did you hear what happened? We can even do it in the form of a prayer request, can't we? We're good at that in the church. I'm not gossiping, but let me tell you what I heard. That's gossiping. Either way we justify it, for whatever reason we do it, it is still wrong and it's still a sin. Have you checked out this morning? Y'all still with me? Let's keep going in verse 11. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. Think about what James is telling us here. Actually, think about what it says he was giving us a warning. Think about what James is warning us about here. When a person talks about another person or condemns another person, they don't just violate God's law, okay? Listen to me this morning, church. But they violate the greatest law, the greatest of all the laws that God gave us. The royal law of love. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 12 when he was questioned by one of the teachers of religious law. They were trying to trap him up and they said, tell us this, teacher, if you're so smart, which commandment is most important? And Jesus didn't say, I don't know. It says Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord, our God, is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And then he goes on to say this in verse 31 in Mark chapter 12. He says, the second is equally as important. Doesn't follow behind it. It's equally as important. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. See, if you remember, James has already talked about this in chapter 2, verse 8, didn't he? We already went through that. You probably forgot it because, like I said, sometimes we forget what we heard. So I'm going to remind you this morning for free. James chapter 2, verse 8 says this. We already went through it. It says, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when we go around speaking evil about our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we slander them, when we judge them, when we condemn them, we're actually guilty of double sin, if that makes any sense. We're actually doing even more damage than the person that we are judging. When we speak evil about someone, when we judge someone, we are basically saying the very law that Jesus told us was equally important as loving God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. We're showing that it really doesn't matter to us. When we do this, we're double hypocrites. Not only are we guilty of slander, but we're also guilty of using the law to slander the person. Some harsh words this morning. Look at what he says in the last part of verse 11. He says, but your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. I like that. I like that. That's a part where, like, you know, you're being bullied at school and the big football player comes up and defends you and you're behind him and you're saying, yeah, what he said. Yikes! That hurts, doesn't it? He said, your job is to obey the law. You know what? We need to be concentrating on ourselves, don't we? He's saying, you could spend your whole life just keeping yourself on track with doing what God wants you to do. Why are you worrying about talking to other people, what they should do? He's basically reinforced what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. Listen to this. Matthew 7, verse 3 and 4, he says this. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Oh, I love Jesus. He's so cool, isn't he? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't even see past the log in your own eye? Yikes. That hurts this morning. Jesus is saying this. How can you even think about trying to judge someone else when you're just as, if not more, guilty than they are? See, both Jesus and James are telling us this. Quit speaking evil about others. Quit judging others. Quit talking about your brother's or sister's sin to other people. And start worrying about your own. Amen? Paul says this in Romans chapter 14. He says, so let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. We're supposed to be there to lift each other up, church. You know what? When we see somebody falling short, we see somebody going through a bad time in life, we're supposed to be the ones when nobody else, when the world's throwing darts at them, we're supposed to come up beside them and say, it's okay. Let me help you back up, brother. Let me help you back up, sister. We are to encourage one another, not tear each other down. We're to love one another, not to judge each other. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't come to each other when we see each other falling short and say, brother, I'm worried about you. I want to get you back on track. I want to help you get back on track. That's not saying, ooh, look what you're doing. Look what you're doing. It's a difference because you do it out of love. See, we are to accept each other, make allowance for their faults, not condemn each other. Listen to what he says in back in James, verse 12. God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? See, James closes this part of his letter reminding us to know our place. He's basically saying, you know your place, church. Know your place, Christian. Don't get all high and mighty on me. He doesn't make it confusing. He said, God alone who gave the law is the judge. So when we decide to condemn our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we decide that we have the right somehow to whisper about what somebody else needs to fix in their life, we decide that we're the judge of their sin. and we're taking place. We're taking a place that's not ours to take. Ultimately, we're making ourselves God. We're claiming the right to sit upon the judgment seat that belongs to who? It belongs to God and God alone. James is basically saying this: who do you think you are? Oh, who do you think you are? We're just mere humans who have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who are we to judge someone else? So instead of judging others from their sin or because of their sin, maybe it would be better to pay a little more attention to yourself. This is what we've been talking about, church. We've been going through the study of James, even through Ephesians, about it's time for us to grow up a little bit, take responsibility for our own actions. We all need to make sure that we're not speaking evil of others, especially within the family of God. We shouldn't be going around talking about anybody, but especially here in the family of God, we're a family. We're supposed to hold each other together, and it takes everybody, just like in my family and in your family at home, it takes everybody working together to keep that family as a healthy unit, right? It takes everybody doing their part to encourage one another. We need to spend more energy on growing closer to God and not keeping track of other sins. We're going to close with this morning. I want to share this story with you, and then we're going to close. Charles Price, I read this week, and I love it. It just fell right in here. Charles Price, pastor of the People's Church in Toronto, tells a story of a friend of his who went to the Netherlands to share the gospel with the Dutch people. And he became friends with many Dutch Christians there. He was amazed to find how distressed the Dutch Christians were with the state of the American Christians. You see, they were struggling with the style of dress and the application, all the makeup that women wear in America, and they think that they are worried that we have taken up this part of worldly attitude and this worldly look and things we shouldn't be doing in the Christian culture. They felt like this worldly sin had crept into the church and it was wrong the way the American church dresses and acts. They would never let the world impact them and apply makeup on and go to church like the Americans do. His friend was amazed to see how upsetting it made the Dutch Christians. So upsetting that he saw the women and men crying tears of sadness. He watched as those tears ran down their face and dripped off the edge of their nose and dripped into their tall glass of beer and over top of their cigarette as they lamented at the worldliness of us Christians here in America. You see, this is the problem with judging others. When we focus on someone else's sawdust in their eye, we forget we got a telephone pole hanging out of ours. Have you ever tried to take a picture? When I first got a smartphone, it still is sometimes. It's just a fiasco. Like, I'm doing stuff, I'm texting people I don't mean to text. I'm trying to take a picture of someone else and I take a picture of myself. You know, it's just kind of comical. But Jenny was trying to teach me. I would take a picture and I'd say, I don't know why every time I take a picture, everybody's out of focus. They're standing right there, but it focused on the tree in the back or the awkward guy on the beach. It looks like I was taking a picture of some stranger on the beach and my kids are blurry. And she told me, she said, you got to tap the screen right there. You got to tap on who you want to focus on. And see, it's the same way in our life sometimes. It's the same way in our, and we're looking at, when we're judging other people, you know what the problem is? Is we're not tapping on ourselves. We're not focusing on ourselves. You can't focus on two things. You're either going to focus on something far away from you or you're going to focus on something close. And that's what happens so many times in the Christian life. That's what happens so many times in the church, and we don't even realize it. Sometimes we got to say, wait, let me focus on what's right in front of me. Let me focus on that telephone pole hanging out of my eye before I start pointing the finger and focusing on the people in the background. I don't know, maybe you've been judged by others. Maybe you've been hurt and you feel like the church has judged you. I don't know. Maybe you fear that you would be judged if you ever came and submitted your life and gave your life to Christ. I don't know. Maybe people, you think people are whispering about you and whatever. Just remember that God is the one and only judge this morning. Amen? He alone has the power to destroy and save. And guess what? He's already destroyed the power that the devil has over our life. And he wants to save you today. He wants to rescue you today, and he wants to free you from all the burdens and all the shame and all the things that we get wrapped up in. When Jesus died on the cross, he paved the way for everyone who believes to be saved. God has the power to destroy us. He could have spoke a simple word and destroyed us when we nailed his son on the cross, but he didn't, and he chose to love us and to forgive us. If the Lord's calling you today, no one's going to judge you today. If there's something you need to leave at the foot of the cross this morning, no one's going to judge you. And if they do, They can deal with God. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, come and sing hymn number 340. He hideth my soul. Stand as we sing. And if God is calling you this morning, maybe you want to join the church, you just need prayer, whatever God is moving in your life. I know we say it every Sunday, but if God is calling you, come as we sing. He hideth my soul, number 340.